I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. You may be seated. In the life of the believer, the disastrous situation comes about when we lie down and receive fierce attacks from the devil. And instead of chasing the devil, we give the devil the opportunity to destroy our strength in prayer, our faith in the Word of God, and our witness for the truth. But thank God, God gives grace to his children. And the darkest hour can be the brightest hour. The toughest battle can bring about the greatest victory. It is no secret what God can do in the life of his child. From ruin to revival, that is what the very stars have recorded in the sky for us. If you turn with me to the 16th chapter of the book of the Acts, you will see there the story of the Apostle Paul, the story of his battle in evangelism for the evangelization of Europe. And what a chapter this is. And as we look out over our world today, the first thing we need to examine is the aspect that faces us as children of God and as witnesses to Christ. So the aspect is important. God and his work are of the utmost importance. And so we need to compare the chapters of the Word of God. And if you turn over with me in your New Testament, you'll come to a special epistle, the epistle to the Philippians. And if you look with me at chapter 4 of that epistle, you will discover the comment of the Apostle Paul upon what happened in his first visit to Philippi in Acts chapter 16. And he says in verse 7 of Philippians chapter 4, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think of these things. Here the Apostle Paul is giving us the comfort of his thoughts as he writes this epistle. He doesn't refer to the beatings he received in Philippi. He doesn't refer to the inner prison into which he was thrust. He does not mention those who attacked him and fought with him and drew the blood from his body. No. He says, whatsoever things are pure. He had an entirely different viewpoint than what we would have taken in similar circumstances. We need to get the aspect and vision of God into our Christian way of life and into our Christian duties to Christ. And he starts off and he says, whatsoever things are honest. The false must be put away. Honesty must prevail. We live in a dishonest world. We live in a world that is filled with lies and sham. And evil. We have seen that manifested with the pretended marriage of a dignitary of the Church of Ireland. But it's not a marriage with a woman. It's a marriage with a man. And there are those who try to defend this. What an evil world we live in. A world where the world makes evil good and makes good evil. This is the world we live in. But this man who had been through the mill, Paul, he says, whatsoever things are pure. And thank God, purity will conquer all impurities. It's lovely, you know, to see the power of the grace of God in the lives of men and women who have been changed by the miracle of salvation. What a change the Savior makes. Whatsoever things are true. And then he goes on and he says, whatsoever things are honest. The world is filled with dishonesty and sham. A breaking of the commandments of God, filled with lies and misunderstanding and misstatements. But amidst the dishonesty of the world, there's a bright and shining light. It's a bright and shining light of honesty. And at the end of the day, dishonesty will be defeated, and honesty shall take the throne. We should not be downhearted when we see the beating waves of sin and dishonesty strike at our little ship on the ocean of life. For God will see his people through. What is our vision today? What is our aspect today? First of all, it's true. Secondly, it is honest. Thirdly, it is pure. How filthy sin is. How filthy is this world of sinners. How filthy is the life which sinners pursue. But thank God, we can say, whatsoever things are pure. There's a purity that keeps us in this dark world of sin. Every day when we rise from our bed, we need to put on the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. We need to arm our cells with the protective armor of God. This is an evil day, brethren and sisters. This is the devil's day. But thank God there's victory for me in the blood of Christ, my Savior. There is victory for me. As the days darken, it will be harder to live for Christ, to profess Christ, to fight the battle of Christ, to quote the words of Christ. But thank God, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. Oh, thank God. Oh, 'twas love. 'Twas lovely love. The love of God to me. It brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. How beautiful is the cross in the darkness of earth's shadows. How wonderful is the suffering of our blessed Savior in a day when sin is as black as hell can keep it. I want to say every day I thank God I'm seeing. Every day I thank God that I'm not on the road to hell. Every day I waken and call upon God, I call upon him to thank him that he has saved me from death and darkness and damnation. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me. Brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, evil report is all around us. The news is supercharged with wickedness. But thank God, we are grounded in good report. And what was the good report? The good report was, he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for mine iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was laid on him, and by his stripes we are healed. Oh, the wonder of the touch of the Master's hand. But it goes on to say, if there be any virtue. As we look over the world, we don't see any virtue. We see truth turned into a lie by the strength of evil. We see bitterness in the very soul of man who should be praising God. If there be any praise, what are we to do? We have to think on these things. Because these things which we have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and this God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. What a difference is the attitude of Paul to all these things. So much for the aspect that we are facing. Let us take my second point. And my second point is retrospect. There is a backness to look back on. Paul could have looked back. And if he had looked back, he could have thought upon the wounds that his body had endured. But he says no such thing. Those wounds are forgotten. He's glad that he had the joy of suffering for his master. His master, whose title is the man of sorrows. He doesn't mention any of his imprisonments. No, he counted himself happy to be locked up in the filth of the prison cell for the sake of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? The only way to escape hell forever, and the only way to enjoy heaven forever, is to walk in fellowship with the sufferings of our Lord. There is nothing so sweet for the child of God than to look at the wounds of Jesus. The wounds of Jesus. What a sweetness in the presence of God. To feel the touch of his nail-pierced hand. That's the best medicine for our souls. To see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. So much for the aspect, so much for the retrospect. What about the prospect? What about the future? Lift up your eyes, child of God, for the Bible tells you your redemption draweth nigh. Round about 200 years ago, A poor old beggar stood on London Bridge, scraping wretchedly on his miserable old violin in an attempt to persuade those that passed to leave him some money as they passed by. But everyone who passed that poor old beggar with his tattered clothes and with his almost broken, miserable instrument passed him by. But after a while, a stranger came along as the old beggar tried to bring some music from the tarred and broken violin. And the stranger said to the man, I'm not going to give you any money, but you give me your violin and I'll play you a tune. And he picked up the violin from the beggar's stiff, numb fingers, and the old man sat down exhausted on the pavement. But the man that took the violin started to play. And that old violin that the beggar could bring no real music out of started to be the best musical instrument on earth. And the crowds did not pass it by. They stopped to listen as the sweetest of music came from the old violin. The police officer came. He wanted to order the crowd away, but the crowd wouldn't move. It got larger and larger until there was some 2,000 on the bridge. The old man lay on the stones, tired and weary. But the man with his violin was not weary. He played the sweetest possible music. Who was he? He was the greatest violin player in the world of his day. And in the sweetness of the music came the rattle of the coins. And that old man, that day it is recorded, left the place where he got no money at all with a large sum of over £2,000. Paganini, the greatest violin player of his century and of all centuries, had done the job and done it well. One day I passed over that same bridge. One day I yielded to the Lord Jesus my instrument that was broken and brought forth no sweet music. But the touch of the Savior's hand changed not only the tune, but the instrument. And I who was lost was found, and I who was dead became alive again. Because I had met the one who is the resurrection and the life. When we think of the aspect, when we think of the retrospect, we should also think of the prospect, what Christ can do for the lost soul. He can find the lost soul. He can cleanse the lost soul. He can make the lost soul anew. He can make the beggar the richest banker in the whole world. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. The purpose of this service is that you meet up with Jesus Christ, that the old song of the world will never pass your lips again, that the sins of the past will be washed away in the cleansing blood of the Lamb, and you'll leave this service a new man or a new woman in Christ. Happy, glad and free, for there's wonderful power in the precious blood. O sinner, haste you to the cross. Stand under the shadow of Calvary's tree. Gaze and gaze your eyes away. And looking to the one who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and cry out, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And God will answer your prayer and save you, and you'll leave this house rejoicing in the salvation of God. May it be so for Jesus' sake. Let us bow our heads. How is it, friend, with your soul? Are you trusting Jesus? Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? Is he your God? Oh, come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in his word, he has shown us the way. And here in our midst, he's standing today, tenderly saying, come. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I trust today that you will come. Come as you are, for he will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now. Father in heaven, bless thy word. Write it upon our hearts. And may those unsaved be saved. May those backslidden from their God be restored, and may thy people go forth rejoicing that God, for Christ's sake, hast forgiven them. Amen.